womb man, like Eve, we have to use her as a type. The scripture says the man was not deceived, but Eve was in deception. So this was not deceived. He just gave himself, so to speak, for the woman to redeem her. He was a type of Christ. And anyway, she was. So it bred serpents, which had to produce, we had to have a law. Remember the law, as long as you cast it upon the earth, it's serpentine. If you use an earthy interpretation, it'll kill you. But if you take that same law and put it on the pole, your measuring rod, and lift it up, then it will save you. So, it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, this is a very negative outcome, far as I can see. And I had a lot more here, but I didn't want to get into that today. We'll do this, because I feel like this is where we go. If you can read it from there. Okay. I kept thinking of the word metamorpho. And if you look in your Greek concordance, you'll see a lot of metas. And, well, today, metaphysical is a big thing. I'm not into the metaphysical. I'm into the Jesus physical. It's a little different. Anyway, let's turn to 1 John 4 and 4. I like to read out of here because it has so many translations. Have you got there yet? John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, every attitude." We talk about spirits. We just need to detect an attitude, even our own, especially our own. "But do not trust every spirit, my friends," one of the translations says. Another, "Dear friends, do not believe every inspired utterance." And I had to think about that a minute, because inspired means in spirit. But it could be a foul spirit that was giving the utterance to you, if you know what I mean, and sound like a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, the thing that's trying to seduce you doesn't come ugly. It comes pretty, wrapped up in beautiful things. It's not the ugly, because you would detect that in a heartbeat. So we have to be a little smarter than that spirit that wants to deceive. "Not all prophetic spirits, brethren, deserve your credence." And I like that. One of these days I'm going to get me a Knox Bible, because I always like his better than anybody else's. I believe it was John Knox that wrote that Bible. "But test or try the spirits whether they are of God." I mean, take a minute to feel out what is being said to you and where the person's coming from that's talking to you. What it's concerning, I mean, everyday life's one thing, but when it's spiritual things, it gets my ear, and I'm trying to figure out sometimes where they're coming from. Sometimes I know immediately where they're coming from by what they're saying. Because many false prophets are out into the world. Now, this was written some 2,000 years ago. So, if they were in the world then, you think about today, when they've been like a hind let loose, doing as they please. Remember in Job, God said, "Hey, Satan, where have you been?" He said, "Oh, I've been having a blast. I've been walking up and down through the earth. I've been having a good time." And God said, "Well, have you considered my servant, Johnny?" I mean, God, it seems like he ain't your friend there. "Have you considered Michael? Come on, Satan, sick him." You're going, "Wait a minute. What do you mean?" Of course, we know that that was to test Job in this life's journey, and he became a much greater person because he could say to himself, "Though you slay me, though you take everything." And remember, the report started right away, if you read Job. "All your kids are dead. All your jackasses are dead. All your goats are dead. There is nothing left." So Job's female part says, "Curse God and die. He ain't doing nothing for you." You know, you want to go, "Forget it, God. I'm the only one here." So he taps Elijah on the shoulder, because that's what Elijah said. "There's nobody else left but me." And Jezebel says she's going to kill me. Or she said, "If I don't kill Elijah by dark, the dogs will eat my bones." And they did that day. They did eat her bones. So Elijah said, we got this hussy after me, and I'm afraid of her. Ahab's wife, she had a lot of clout. And he said, "I'm just the only one left." And it's like Jesus tapping me on the shoulder saying, "Hey, wait a minute. Did you know I've got 7,000 left-handed men that have never bowed the knee to Baal and can throw a rock, a really accurate rock, I don't remember, hair's breadth or something, whatever that is. Anyway, didn't mean to get into that. We will move on. So he tells us here about this spirit that comes. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God, hereby you know the Spirit of God, because that Spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. If it was in the world back then, how much more today? I mean, it's really current to call just about everything a myth. Anything. I mean, it just, to me, it's a no-brainer. Because here I stand. I'm not a great somebody, and I won't go down in history. I won't be legendary. You know, I'll just pass on. But I'm no myth. Are you a myth? I have an issue with that. I have an issue with mythology. Because I'm no myth. Now, if I were a myth and not flesh and blood, I could say that's cool. But I just can't do that. Let's see if I want to go there. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's out in the cosmos of the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he knoweth God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." These are just a few scriptures. scriptures, and of course I'm plucking them because I want to get through this. 2 Thessalonians. I love the way these New Testament prophets warn us. They give us a warning about things. And I believe every person has a heart that could discern both good and evil, whether he be a professing Christian or not. I really believe that even little children get here with knowing right from wrong. A two-year-old, he's eat the cookie's all over his mouth, and you say, Mama says to him, did you eat the cookie? No. He knows he's lying. That little. He knows he's lying. But he ate the cookie. So that tells me there's a knowing, even in wee ones, of right and wrong. We just get here with it. It's a beautiful gift. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Paul, he was such a loving apostle. Of course, he was appointed to the Gentiles. And Jesus said, Paul is a man born out of season. That meant he could walk in our shoes today and understand where we are in our culture and in this life. That's awesome. He saw way down the road. So he really is standing here to teach us today in that symbolic thing that he is. He says, now I beseech you. That's such a beautiful, entreating word. How many times do we say that to each other? I beseech you. We don't use terminology like that. Although I have heard myself say to people, I'm begging you not to do this. And of course, people do what they do. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the appearance or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him. It's like this little group this morning. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. So we do it, it's unto the Lord. Get through our little adjustments and fears and whatever, faith, because we all have those to embrace and wonder how in the world it's going to be. And so I always remember all those times Johnny and I moved in the Navy. We moved 33 times, and we adjusted every time. Some of them weren't good adjustments. But you make it through. The sun comes up in the morning. It's the way it works. He says that you be not soon shaken in your mentality or even be troubled. Let me read some of these translations because they're sweet. That you be not quickly tossed from your mentality or put in any alarm system. You know, sometimes people will say things to you and you're going, I think I got a red flag here. I'm wondering where they're coming from and what they really mean. Because I don't like alarms. Don't like to be surprised. Don't surprise me. My daddy used to say, if you surprise me, I'll kill you. So I didn't like to surprise daddy. Anyway, he says that you behave not rashly to be shaken from your soberness of mind or even be agitated about it. And I thought, well, I might not be shaken, but I get pretty agitated by some people's mentality sometimes. I'm wanting to go, have you got any screws you got loose in there? Come here and let's do an adjustment, you know. let's see, let your minds become, don't let your minds become unsettled or even be disturbed. And one says, do not be terrified. Now, I'm not so sure anything would terrify me. I'd have to think about it. Terrified, out of your senses all at once, and be thrown into confusion. Just keep your heads and don't be thrown off balance. I really like that one. Do not suddenly lose your heads or alarm yourself. And he tells you three things not to be bothered by. Neither by an attitude, spirit. If you walk into a store, they have a spirit in that store. You can feel it. Just about every store I go in, I can feel what they've got going on there. And there are stores that I quit going in because of the spirit in the store. I didn't like the spirit, didn't agree with me, so I quit going there. Neither by spirit, and that's manifested through attitudes and people, how they do. You know, Walmart, they have greeters. They don't have greeters. They have greeters. They don't have greeters. They don't know what in heaven's name they want, because it changes every week. I go in, they got greeters. I go next time, no greeter. I'm going, what? Not that I care, because when somebody greets me, I have to pay attention and say, appreciate them. So I'm cool if they do or don't. It don't matter to me. Anyway, neither by spirit, nor a word that they speak to you, nor by a letter from me. Something that you receive from somebody. Whether by some message by the Spirit or by some saying or letter that is claimed as coming from me. Because Paul was, he was a hoot and toot. As that the day of Christ is at hand, he was trying to tell us. The appearance of Christ is way down the road, and he will appear in a body of believers. He's not going to split the eastern sky open like we're thinking. I mean, that's ridiculous. So we've grown a little bit. Let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I don't want to go that far. I want to move on to something else. Romans 2:28. Romans is a really good book. I feel like it's so clear. He lays a beautiful foundation in that first chapter. And then he moves on to the law. It sounds like double talk, though. Let's start with the 25th verse. And I know this is plucking scripture. It's not flowing. If you want to flow, read it for yourself. For that's just nice as I know how to put it. It's too much reading to do. For circumcision, verily, did it sound ugly? I'm sorry. I take it back. How can I say it?
You said it fine.
All right. For circumcision, verily profiteth if you keep the law. Hello. I don't know anybody that truly keeps all of those laws. We just don't. We're truth breakers. But we endeavor to keep those laws. Thou shalt not kill someone. But then the promise is behind that, you won't want to do any killing. You won't want to do any stealing. And to me, the greatest stealing is stealing somebody's message. If somebody shares something with me and I think it's a lie, I'll say they shared it with me. That's what they saw. Because revelation's given to all of us. but we need to be given honor to the vessel that received it. So I try not to steal, especially that. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness in the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, Don Cooley was sent to teach the Catchee Indians. They said they never raised their voice. They didn't know what divorce was. And he said, Father, you sent me to teach them. They'd never heard of God. And they were such a beautiful, quiet, humble people. But he said on Saturday night, they would get drunk, get the machete, and kill you. Ain't think nothing about that. So do you see what I'm saying? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. We all know about them. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inside, inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. Well, I studied the word heart all week, and this is what I came out with. Every time that it's used in a very wide sense. So, it's really according to who is reading or interpreting what they're reading. It's that wide. It says, the heart is all thoughts that come to you. The feelings, and then it says a strange thing, and even mentalities. Well, I thought thoughts and mentalities were the same thing. So I had to think about that a little bit. Okay, so it says it's used for your focus, the center of anything. Where is your focus? What is your very core and your center? I thought, all right, everybody's got a different center. And it can be used to transport with love or stultify. I've heard the Word of God taught many times. I've taught it. I say it to my family sometime. And this is what I get. I said to transport with love or stultify, if I'm using that word right, S-T-U-L-I-F-Y. It means to appear absurd. I've had people tell me when I was speaking the word, that's absurd. And I'm going, okay, Doomgolf, where are you coming from? You know you're speaking the word and that it's true. Yeah. And they're saying, this is foolishness to make worthless or ineffectual. I'm going, okay. So the word heart can be translated all kinds of ways. You get to choose because you're that translator. I believe the Father gives to every person that a heart that he can work with, but he's a circumciser. And when there's a little flesh around there, he's that master surgeon that I call upon to operate upon my heart because I can trust him. He is not going to make a mislick. I don't trust anybody else to circumcise my heart. I don't even trust me. Because I get mine broken sometimes. Hallelujah, I do. Okay. The word circumcision here is interesting. Circumcision means to cut with comprehension or decisiveness. Like repeatedly hacking, but very keen, sharper than any two-edged sword, which takes us to Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. The one I like the most is the living word of God is energetic. It is effectual. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, so that means it needs to cut both ways. So when a person's sharing, that needs to be, they need to be dealt with as well as dealing with the other guy. It's very important. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of what soul and what spirit. That can be hard to detect sometimes when folks are talking. Are they coming from a soulish realm? Well, the way I know is, if I deal with that person for very long and get deep into a subject, if it's coming from soul, they'll stop you. You're going too far. You got too personal. God's very personal. And he shows us things about each other, you know. So we can, that's what the body is for. We correct each other. We wash each other's feet. We go through surgery together. We go through all kinds of things. And we allow him to deep calleth unto deep. Remember, we go back to our beginning. And the Spirit of God hovered over the turbulent, chaotic waters. The things that were confused. Because he brooded, the scripture says. He decided to make him some hatchlings, as Karen taught. Of course he does. Deep calling unto deep, because he wants us to know who we are. Not just our divinity, but we need to know that. Our divinity is awesome. It really is. Our breath, as well as our humanity, and not be so hard. Recently, I was talking with Carolyn. I said, I'm just angry. She said, be angry. Get your anger done with. I said, well, I gotta be honest. I'm angry. So honesty's good. Of course, I wanted to condemn myself in the anger, but I need to own it. That's my anger. I said, well, I might say it's somebody else's, but I think I've got to own this as mine and get through it. Okay. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And like I said, if you deal with somebody long enough, you'll know where they're coming from. Because when you go to dealing with that deep soul that's so unique, and of course it needs dealt with desperately, that we might be clean and freed from things and opened up, then you will find out, because some will not have that deep, deep dealing. That's that. No, now you're going to meddling. All right. All right. And the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of every thought and every intent of the heart. And to me, that's beautiful. So many times in my life, my intent was right, but the outcome wasn't too good. And someone would say, well, my heart was right. I didn't mean it the way it got took. However, I'm learning to deliver with a little more charm. Because it causes me pain, you know. I love this. It is able to judge the impulses and the designs of your heart. I thought, Lordy, Lordy. I can be impulsive. Detecting the innermost thoughts and purposes of your mind. And I thought, you know, Lord, I don't want to lay a trap for anyone. Don't let me make those kind of plans. Don't let me be a liar in wait. And I usually don't. Scrutinizing the very thoughts and every concept of the heart. That's amazing to me. It sifts the purposes and thoughts of the heart. It is skilled in judging the heart ponderings and meditation. And this one. It exposes the very thoughts and motives of the man's heart. We're dealing with heart here. Christ said it was circumcision of the heart. Not of the way we do things outwardly. None of that. It all has to do not with this thumping organ, but with the heart of God that lives in every man, so wants to function. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And I have to laugh. People think they're hid. I'm going, hello, your nakedness is showing. I mean, it's just evident sometimes. Anyway. And he says, but all things are open, naked, and open unto the eyes of him that is spirit, the move of spirit. Okay, let me move on further. I was thinking back to a word, really Don Cooley introduced us to this word, and it's been a prominent word in my understanding and teaching, and I actually have a Greek lexicon that says this. Agape love, in the Greek it's agapeo, and it means the little boy with a stick, but translated it's each of us with our own measuring rod that God puts in our hand as a priest. You're the priest of your house. I believe every man is the priest of his house. Not many people know they're the priest of their house, so they might keep it different. But it's our job to kind of wake them up and say, hey, you take responsibility for your house. Anyway, the scripture said, hey, Moses, when he stood before Pharaoh, what is that in your hand? Moses said, a rod. Spirit said, cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. But Pharaoh and all of his sorcerers cast theirs on the ground, and it became serpents too. Hello. However, Moses' serpent devoured all of theirs. With that same rod, he put it in the ground. He fashioned a serpent of brass and put it there for people to be healed. He said, now, if you're serpent bitten, and we all get serpent bitten sometime, believe it or not, we go through that. If you'll look on that thing that's lifted up, your divinity, you'll be healed. If you don't, you die. So, let's see where I'm going now. All right. One more thing before I quit. 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, let's read just 1-4 because it's not lengthy. Paul says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, he's doing that beseeching again, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received us, how you ought to walk and please God, not just in front of me, Paul, or whomever his cohort was at that time, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication has to do with touching. It's the only sin that has to do with actually touching the unclean thing. And then he gets to the biggest scripture in here, that every one of you should know how to possess your own vessel. I don't need to know how to possess Johnny's vessel. I don't need to know how to possess Karen's vessel. I don't need to know how to possess Michael's vessel. But I need to know what makes me tick. It's all about this. Each person has to know what makes them work. How do they get there? Where are they going? What is this journey about? Come on, folks. We just need to tend to our own knitting and let everybody else tend to theirs. I think that's beautiful. Let's see what he says here. The word here says possess. How to acquire, and Rokas would love this, how to own your own vessel. This is my house. What does she need? What is this that she does not need more of? What keeps her moving along on this life's road of repentance? And that, let me say that. Repentance is a way of life. It means to change your mind. Lord Jesus, how many times have I changed my mind since I begin to grow from a child? I can't even name the times. Be willing to change your mind. And repentance to me speaks of a humility that says, hey, in anything, I could be wrong. I might just be, what is my part? That's all we have to do. Say, God, what is my part in this? And that's all we need to do. I can't fix his part if it needs fixing. I can't fix your part if it needs fixing. Nobody can fix you but you and your own validity. And we are all valid. My Lord, I'm telling you, we're not a myth standing here. So we get to, he gives us the tools to work on our own vessel, intricately, as things come up. And recently I thought, man, I didn't know that was still there. But it's kind of growing and glowing in my face. I'm going to have to just admit it. So I'm going, hello, I thought I'd done away with you. But I see I'm still entertaining you once in a while. I'll tell you, we are the woman clothed with the sun, I promise you. But sometimes we get to identify with that great whore that sits on many waters, too. And she identifies with everything. If you don't believe it, turn on the news. It'll tell you right away. If you want to be confused, turn on the news. All right. Let's see what my notes say. I'll share them with you. How do we look at our own personal divinity and humanity? I said that. Changing the mind is metamorpho. It's a beautiful, beautiful word because it also has to do with the caterpillar that goes into the cocoon. And you know how sometimes you're both the observed and the observer? It's a weird feeling, but it happens to us. And you can see things in that, in your cocoon of life unfolding, and some parts falling away, and you're saying, oh no, I needed that part, and it's dying away, it's gone. But in the place of that, there's a little silver wing. And you can see the unfolding of yourself. And it's more beautiful than the thing that you lost in that cocoon of life. Beautiful. Okay. Matthew 7. I said I was going to quit. I'm sorry, I didn't. I was listening to Rogus this morning. He told the congregation, he said, if you don't know how to hear Jesus, read the red letter edition. And I was going, what? Because I just had to laugh. It's simplistic, but I guess it's okay. What you want to do. I don't even know if I have a red letter edition anymore, but I do let him speak to my heart. Matthew 7. And find my place. Okay, let's start with 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What heaven? Your lifted up understanding. It's not somewhere far off that you can't touch. It's heave ho, the thing you heaved up. And I don't mean barf. I mean the thing you've lifted up. This is yours, Lord. You give it to him. It's a your sacrifice. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name we cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never had a relationship with you. I never knew you. The word knew there is Genosko. It's very personal and intimate. I never was covered completely by you or given seed. I couldn't give you seed because you wouldn't be still. You already had the seed of the serpent. So it's very important for us to build our own relationship with that divinity. Not something afar off, but your own divinity inside of you. And how do you know if it's straight? Well, there's other people in the body. You can detect if you're straight by listening, looking, and saying, okay, is this how the body functions and flows? Is this flowing? Does this really fit right here? And that's how you know. And he says, I never knew you. I didn't have a relationship with you. So it's, to me, it's so beautiful to build your own relationship with divinity. However you do that. I don't stand on my head or anything. I just get myself quiet. And I might dance. I might sing. Yesterday I danced all over my living room. It was fun. Nobody was there to watch. I wouldn't have warned them to. I wasn't even out of my pajamas. But my Lord saw it. He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then he goes on into another parable that I don't want to read right now. Matthew 22. These parables are a whole lot deeper than what I'm doing, but maybe sometime. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he went, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. I don't want to be part of that. Again, he sent forth servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. There is a constant table spread. It's not afar off, it's inside of you. And it's full of all kinds of things that the Father has put on the table of your understanding. Where you are right now, it's inside of you. All you have to do is pick up the fork and put it in your mouth. Just go up and down the table and eat whatever you please. It's yours. It's nobody else's. The banquet is for you. Tell them that are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. Okay, if you're getting ready for a marriage, you're thinking about, number one, I do, what am I going to wear? Well, even my husband thinks about what he's going to wear to a wedding. But they made light of it and went their way. One said, I got to tend to my farm. Another said, I got to tend to my merchandise. I'm doing something else. And the remnant took his servants, entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned the city. Now that sounds rough. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, tell them about the marriage. There's a marriage between your spirit and soul. It's awesome. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. So everybody's not the bride, just in case you're wondering. In a wedding party, there's a bridegroom. There is a bride. The scripture says, if you're the bride, you make yourself ready. Who makes you ready? You do it. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there that didn't have on a wedding garment. Hello. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and put him back in the outer darkness where he came from. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we're not going to get in without the right garment, without being right inside, because this one came up another way. Remember he said, some climb another way? I don't want that other. You know what the other way is? Ego. Oh, your ego will take you a lot of places. I hate that thing. But I still got some of it. It kind of wiggles around sometimes. Anyway, one more. St. John 10. And I promise you I'm done then. That's all the scripture I got written anyway. Oh, you're going to love this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, who is the door? Jesus said, I am the door. Through my incarnation shall all men come through. He was the only one of the greats that incarnated into a man. It's simple. He that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, and oh yeah, you can climb into the back of a sheepfold. You can crawl under the fence. You can do it all kinds of ways. But climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So how do we want to get in there? Well, Jesus is always standing at the door of your understanding saying, I'm knocking, let me out. Let me out. I'm in you. Let me out. We're not saying, I want to go in, because he's already let us in. Okay. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. I love this one. And the sheep recognize his voice. That's so awesome when someone speaks wherever and I hear the voice of my Father and I know it's that voice and I can think, oh man, that is so beautiful, your voice. I was sharing something with Rachel the other day and his voice just came out of her. I didn't tell her, but I will sometime. It was just precious. It was just his voice. It was not his vocal cords. It was hers. But what she said was him. It just blessed me. So, yeah, it's just a no-brainer. Okay, that's all I have to share. Kate, do you want to share some stuff?
Well, I don't want to teach you now. You said it all. I mean, you did. You really covered my book.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal
no
thunder.
No, you covered so much of what I... It was just amazing.
That's in there, my one, huh?